Welcome to episode 178 of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast for April 30th, 2011. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. On this week's episode of the Fredcast, welcome to May, it's National Bike Month. Plus, lots of bike sharing news and, unfortunately, a couple of product recalls. Plus, more bike and car company collaborations. Plus, pro cycling news, including results from Amstel Gold, Flèche Wallonne, Liège-Bastogne-Liège, and the Tour de Romandie, a preview of the Giro d'Italia, and more. Finally, an upcoming ride and a new segment called Travels with Fred. So sit back, relax. If you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes the Fredcast. Hey, fellow Freds, welcome back to another episode of the Fredcast. Great to have you with us. Got a big weekend ahead, including we're going to be recording another episode of The Spokesman. Look for that at www.the-spokesman.com. But first, let's get into this week's episode of the Fredcast. And this week's episode of the Fredcast is sponsored by Jensen USA. We love Jensen USA around here because we believe that they provide you with some of the best selection, the best prices, and unparalleled customer service. Go to www.jensenusa.com/thefredcast to learn more about some of the great deals that Jensen USA has in store for you as a Fredcast listener. We've been talking lately about some of the amazing deals that they've got going on road bikes, but it doesn't matter whether you're looking for a complete road bike or you're just looking for some new parts to outfit your existing road or mountain bike, or perhaps for apparel or accessories, you can find it all at Jensen USA. And by the way, did you realize that Jensen USA has a great deal, free shipping if you order $150 or more in a single order? That's right, free shipping with your $150 purchase when you choose economy shipping at checkout. Now, it is only available in the continental 48 states, and there are some additional exclusions, but I have to tell you, having visited Jensen USA recently and seen the way that they process orders and the care and attention they take to getting those orders ready and getting them turned around quickly, I think that you will just find your experience with Jensen USA to be a very, very good one. Again, it's jensenusa.com/thefredcast, or go to www.thefredcast.com and click the Jensen USA link on the right-hand side of the page. As always, we thank Jensen USA for their support, continuing support of the Fredcast, and we thank you for your support of Jensen USA. Well, topping off the news for this week's episode of the show, it is April 30th, and that means that May begins tomorrow. And May, at least here in the United States, is National Bike Month, sponsored by the League of American Bicyclists. And this is the time when you can join cyclists all across the nation in getting awareness out there for bikes and for cyclists on the road, and for participating in Bike to Work Week, May 16th through the 20th. Most importantly, Bike to Work Day on May 20th. There's lots of information available on National Bike Month, Bike to Work Week, and Bike to Work Day on the League of American Bicyclists website, and you can find that at www.bikeleague.com/bikemonth. And I do have a link in the show notes to where you can find more information. By the way, if you are planning on participating in some National Bike Month or Bike to Work Week or Bike to Work Day festivities, would love to share those with your fellow Fredcast listeners. So feel free to send me your stories. Most importantly, your pictures, your videos, your audio files. I'd be glad to put them into the Fredcast feed, or certainly onto our website at thefredcast.com. This is the time of year when all of us can make an effort to increasing awareness for how easy it is to commute by bike, or how easy it is to maintain safe distances from cyclists on the road, to do some bike education for the kids, advocate in your community for a variety of cycling projects, safe route to schools, etc. This is the time for us to become advocates and to raise awareness for bicycling, whether that is for kids, for racers, or for recreation or for commuting. It's May, National Bike Month. Take advantage of it and help become an advocate for cycling in your community. Speaking of communities, a lot of bike sharing news. This, you know, I've been talking about bike sharing here in the Fredcast for maybe a couple, 2-3 years, but it really seems like over the last few months, bike sharing schemes have taken off literally across the globe. And I've got a couple of stories for you today about some new bike sharing news. For example, on the Big Island of Hawaii, in the Hawaiian Islands chain in the United States, there is a new bike sharing program kicking off in Kailua Kona on the Big Island, and it's called Hawaii B-Cycle, and it's designed to give anyone 18 and older the opportunity to make short-term bike rentals at an affordable price. Now, they're going to start with just 2 bike sharing stations, both of them in Kailua, and they will allow people to simply walk up and rent a bike for a short period of time. Now, it costs $50 for a 1-year membership and $5 for a 1-day pass. And anyone with a valid membership or pass can take the bike for up to a half an hour without paying anything additional over your membership. Every half hour after that is going to cost $2.50. And multiple trips within a single day are allowed. As long as a bike is returned to a station within the allotted 30 minutes, there will be no additional charges. Now, initially, the Kailua Kona B-Cycle program will just have 12 bikes in the system. Hopefully, this will take off, become as popular as we've seen in other cities, and they'll be expanding the system to other parts of the state. I would expect that Oahu would be the most obvious choice next, put it in Honolulu, or perhaps in Lahaina in Maui. But the bottom line is, Hawaii is, I mean, let's face it, folks, someplace that has great weather, perfect place to ride a bike. Wouldn't it be better to do your errands, do your shopping by bike instead of by car? So congratulations to them. I will put a link in the show notes to where you can get more information on the Hawaii B-Cycle program. Another new B-Cycle city will be Madison, Wisconsin. And if that sounds like a familiar area for bicycles, you're absolutely right, because Madison has announced that they've come to an agreement with Trek Bicycle Corporation that will provide the system to the city of Madison, Wisconsin, for, instead of the originally intended $100,000 for 3 years, 350 bikes, and 35 kiosks in downtown Madison, now the city of Madison will pay just $1 per year. In return, the city agreeing to extend the contract from 3 years to 5. Now, right now, if you go to madison.bcycle.com, you're only going to see a splash page that says coming soon, because now that the agreement has been inked between the city of Madison and Trek Bicycle, there's a lot of work that the city needs to do to get things ready. So check that link often. I have a feeling that you'll be seeing these kiosks being installed very, very soon. And those of you in Madison will be able to take part in your bike share program in the coming months. And if you're in the city of Boston, Massachusetts, don't fret, because you too are getting a bike share program. Boston Mayor Thomas Menino signed a contract with Alta Bicycle Share to install a system by this summer. They're going to be calling it Hubway. There will be 61 stations across the city of Boston with 600 bicycles. Now, I wasn't familiar with Alta Bicycle Share, found out that they're from Portland, Oregon, but the system itself that they'll be using is the same one that was developed for the Bixi system in Montreal and in other cities across the country. Again, you'll be able to rent a bike for about $5 per day with free trips that are 30 minutes or less, and there will be an $85 annual membership fee. So get ready, Boston. You too, this summer, will have your opportunity to have your own bike share program. Again, Boston's a great city for a bike share program. I think about people who may want to go from Cambridge to the Back Bay, or perhaps from the Back Bay to South Station. I can just imagine all the great trips that you might be able to take by bike. And anytime I've been in Boston, if the weather is at all fair, I see just tons of people walking, running, cycling, rowing on the Charles River. So having a bike share program in Boston, again, just makes sense. And finally, one city that has become well known for its bike share program, why, as a matter of fact, the bikes in its program are named after its own mayor. It's the city of London, where the bikes there are called Boris bikes after the mayor of London, Boris Johnson. Well, you know, London was the site this week of the international spectacle of the marriage between Prince William and now his wife, Catherine, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge. And for a wedding present, Boris Johnson, the mayor of London, gave the newlyweds a specially designed bespoke Boris bike for two. Yes, a tandem Boris bike. And according to Mayor Johnson, quote, "It is only fitting that we thank the happy couple for shining such a glorious light on our capital with a bespoke gift. I look forward to seeing the newlyweds on tandem wheels as they start their new life." So congratulations to the royal couple. I can't wait to see the photos of the two of them on their new tandem. And by the way, as part of a gift, the office of the mayor of London produced a YouTube video in celebration showing the couple, well, the animated couple, riding their new tandem. Go ahead and check it out. I do have a link in the show notes to that YouTube video. Now, we talk here on the show a lot about bike sharing programs. One of the things we don't talk about a lot is car sharing. And of course, why would we? But here in the United States, the one car sharing company that has really taken off is Zipcar. And now Zipcar is going to partner with Yakima so that those of you who are using Zipcars in Manhattan or Brooklyn will have the opportunity to ride to your Zipcar with your bike and then take your bike on your Zipcar to some great places to go enjoy cycling. And that's because Zipcar will be offering Yakima bike racks on Ford Escape vehicles in Manhattan and Brooklyn. And this comes after they managed to become the car sharing partner and sponsor of upcoming Bike New York tours. According to Charlie Irons, general manager of Zipcar New York, quote, "Zipcar is constantly working to give our members greater access to their local resources. Our programs with Yakima, the New York State Parks, and Bike New York will give Zipsters more opportunity to engage in the active lifestyles they love by allowing them to take advantage of the surrounding state parks and utilizing their bicycles more while also living a green and sustainable lifestyle." Good for Zipcar, and good for those of you who are in New York who want to use Zipcars, and hopefully they'll be expanding this bike rack program to other Zipcar cities around the nation. Couple of product recalls to tell you about today. The first are bicycle lights under the brand name of Magic Shine and being recalled by geomangear.com. These are the Magic Shine 900 lumen, 1400 lumen, and taillight bicycle light sets with lithium ion batteries. Now, I'd personally never heard of the geomangear.com website, but they sold about 20,000 of these Chinese-made units. The problem here is that the lithium-ion battery cells were mismatched, and that can cause the batteries to overheat, leading to a potential fire hazard. And there have been 3 reported incidents causing fires and property damage. Specifically involved here are the Magic Shine 900 lumen, 1400 lumen light sets and the tail light sets sold with either a Series 1 lithium ion battery pack in a nylon pack enclosure or a Series 2 lithium ion battery pack in an aluminum pack enclosure inserted into a fabric sleeve. These were sold at geomangear.com from June 2009 through November 5, 2010, and they were sold individually and as part of the Magic Shine MJ808, MJ816, and MJ818 light sets. Please stop using these immediately. Stop using the battery. Store it outside in a safe, protected space and contact GeoManGear via the links that I've put into the show notes for today's show. And this is episode number 178. The next recall is from Yakima and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Yakima is voluntarily recalling a small number of front loader top of car bike mounts that were shipped between March 2010 and December 2010. The problem here is that some of these units have malfunctioned, causing bikes to become loose or become ejected from the bike mount. Now, they did fix the issue in the current generation of front loaders that began shipping in February 2011. Now, the way that you can tell whether you have a possibly recalled unit or a safe unit, according to Yakima, is look at the front wheel hoops. If yours have four wheel position options, then you have the original design, which is part of the recall. If you have five positions, then you have the current front loader, which is not part of the recall. Yakima is replacing defective products at no charge to consumers, and you can go to the website that I've linked to in the show notes, or you can give them a call at 888-925-4621. That's 888-925-4621. In Northern California, a proposed speed limit across the famed Golden Gate Bridge has many commuting cyclists very upset. Earlier last week, the Bridge District, the folks who are in charge of the authority of the Golden Gate Bridge, proposed a 10-mile-per-hour speed limit across the nearly 2-mile span, with a 5-mile-per-hour limit around bridge towers and in construction zones. The California Highway Patrol would be tasked with enforcing the speed limits, if they are imposed, by using a variety of different speed detection means, including radar detectors, handing out $100 fines to violators. According to those who are against the speed limits, there really is no issue on the bridge, as cyclists are relatively safe as they ride across, and many commuting bikes simply are not outfitted with speed detection devices such as cycling computers and the like, and therefore violators would be violating potentially the law unknowingly until they were stopped by their friendly local CHP officer. Now, the Bridge Authority did commission a study that found that over the past 10 years, there were about 165 bicycle accidents on the bridge, but the most common of those were solo crashes, those occurring five times more than collisions with pedestrians or with other bicycles. And what's interesting is the most often reported accidents occurred on the west side sidewalk, which is normally open only to bicyclists. According to the study, however, speed was a contributing factor in up to 40% of the accidents. Now, the Bridge Authority did have a meeting earlier in the week with a number of concerned citizens, and as a result of that meeting, the directors agreed to delay a vote on the speed limit indefinitely so that they will have time to schedule meetings with cyclists and other concerned citizens to further study the proposal before putting speed limit signs up and beginning to fine cyclists. Moving across the United States to the middle of the country in the state of Illinois, where on March 21st, the Chicago Tribune had an article entitled "Bikers Call for State to Count Doring Accidents," in which it was noted that the Illinois Department of Transportation, or IDOT, did not keep a count of incidents in which bicyclists were knocked off their bikes, injured, or worse as a result of what you and I know as doring. In other words, as we're riding down the street and a parked car opens its door without looking, causing a problem for those of us who end up slamming into those doors. Well, to his credit, as a result of having seen that article in the Chicago Tribune, Illinois Governor Pat McQuinn has now issued new rules in the state of Illinois that take effect immediately that require police departments across the state of Illinois to record during accidents on Illinois traffic crash forms. The Doring data will now be a part of annual traffic accident summaries issued by IDOT to allow Illinois officials to better study the problem and help aid in education of the general public. According to Governor Quinn, quote, anyone who rides a bike can tell you that dooring is a serious issue. One of the best ways we can increase public safety is by making sure we've got the best and most comprehensive data possible. That's why we've made this change. Now, as a result of these new rules issued by Governor Quinn, IDOT sent letters to all law enforcement agencies across the state of Illinois, letting them know what the new procedures are and letting them know about the requirement to report to the state all dooring incidents. Kudos to Governor Quinn and to IDOT for providing this very important change to the accident reporting regulations, thereby allowing everyone, not just cyclists, to understand better the danger of dooring and how prevalent we all know it can be. And heading south from Illinois down to the state of Texas, on Wednesday, former President George W. Bush concluded a three-day 100K mountain bike ride with 15 U.S. soldiers who lost limbs or were seriously injured in Iraq or Afghanistan. The ride was called Warrior 100 and was intended to highlight the bravery and physical strength of U.S. service members who have served the United States honorably in these two wars. According to Wounded Warrior Project Executive Director Steve Nardizzi, quote, we're honored to be a part of the W100 and appreciate the ongoing support from President Bush. Events like these play an important role in the physical and emotional recovery for wounded warriors. At the end of the ride, Bush was quoted as saying, quote, as a commander-in-chief, it was my decision to put them in harm's way in the first place. I feel a special bond toward them, and I want them to know I'll never forget them. Giving the former president a little bit of ribbing, Lance Armstrong joined the crew on the final leg of their three-day tour and joked about the president's physical fitness, saying, quote, today he started fast, but then he kind of blew a gasket. Giving it right back to the seven-time Tour de France winner, George W. Bush, who's now 64, said, well, I am eligible for Medicare next year. On the last episode of the Fredcast, we talked about how a couple of car companies had been working with a couple of bicycle companies on some new bicycle designs. Well, I have three more for you to tell you about today. First of all, Toyota Motor Company and Parley are now working on the so-called Prius bike. Meanwhile, Mini seems to be working with what looks to be Dahan to produce a folding bicycle called the Mini Bicycle. And if you think about the diminutive stature and size in general of a Mini Cooper, you can imagine that a folding bicycle would be the perfect complement to that automobile. And finally, Maserati is teaming up with the famed Montante brand from Italy on their 8CTF bicycle, which pays tribute to the eponymous Maserati racer from many years ago. Interestingly enough, that Maserati bicycle is available on the Maserati store. I do have a link in the show notes for about $5,200. It's nice to see car companies teaming up with bicycle companies as all of us start thinking more and more about our environmental responsibility, reducing the carbon footprint. If we can team our bikes with our cars, get out of our cars more often and get onto those bikes, more power to the people who are doing that for their physical fitness, and it certainly is better to reduce carbon emissions worldwide. And finally, all the way over on the east coast of the United States, in New York City on the island of Manhattan, a man from Manhattan is suing a local helicopter company after he fell off his bike, ran into another cyclist, separated his shoulder, and had to have surgery. This is the case of Michael Strasmich, a retired business owner who's in his late 50s, who was riding his bike next to the Hudson River in New York City on a greenway designated for cyclists and pedestrians in 2007. A helicopter was landing at the nearby West 30th Street Airport, and a gust from the landing helicopter caused the 150-pound man to be knocked from his bicycle and into the path of another cyclist, causing the collision and the injury. He is now suing the helicopter company and the heliport for undisclosed damages and the judge in the case has decided to allow the case to move forward. Now, since the incident, the company involved, Air Pegasus, has erected an 8-foot-high concrete barrier, which Mr. Strasmich's lawyer says has been effective in stopping cyclists from getting blown over, adding, quote, "We're happy the heliport made substantial changes since this accident to reduce the chance of this happening. Nonetheless, we think this is a foolish place for a heliport, given the negative impact on people's lives and that it's mainly used by executives." The New York Post, always one to ensure having headlines that will definitely grab your attention, called this one Copter Gust Bust Lawsuit. And with that story, I see that I've completely blown away the general news for this week's episode of the Fredcast. Before we get to the professional cycling news tonight, I would like to talk to you about another one of our show sponsors, another sponsor who's been with us for many years, and that is Audible. We know that you enjoy listening to Audible entertainment because you are listening to this podcast right now. And since so many of us lead such very busy lives, it can be very difficult to sit down and curl up with a good book or a good Kindle or a good iPad to read a book. So many people, including myself, like to listen to audiobooks, and Audible is the best way to do that. If you go to audiblepodcast.com/cycling, Audible has a special deal for Fredcast listeners. Just by going to that link, they will offer you 14 days of a free trial of the Audible Listener Gold Program, and that will provide you with one free Audible book. Now, that book will be yours to keep forever, whether you continue with your Audible subscription or you cancel during the 14-day period. But I have a feeling that once you've listened to a book on Audible, you will be, as so many of us are, hooked and want to continue your Audible subscription. I recently finally finished the Stephen King novel Under the Dome. That is a very long novel. Enjoyed it immensely from start to finish, but it was many, many hours of listening, and that was great during my travels crisscrossing the country for my day job. My next read is going to be Malcolm Gladwell's The Tipping Point, How Little Things Can Make a Difference, an interesting study in how things catch on and how other things don't. A great read for anybody interested in sociology or even anybody interested in marketing and advertising to determine what may go viral and what may fail miserably. But no matter what your interests are, Audible has over 85,000 Audible or audio books available for you to listen to. You can listen from your computer. You can burn them to a CD. You can use the Audible application on your smartphone, and it works with the iPod and over 500 other devices. If you like to read like I do, but you don't have the time, Audible is the perfect solution. Once again, audiblepodcast.com/cycling for your free book and your free Audible Listener Gold trial. We thank Audible so much for their support of the Fredcast, and we thank you for your support of Audible. Well, there have been a few races since we last had an episode of the Fredcast, and really all I need to do is say one name. I mean, we've had the Amstel Gold Race, the Flesh Wallonne, and Liège-Bastogne-Liège. The winner of all three of them? Philippe Gilbert. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, now let me give you a little bit more details than that. But honestly, Gilbert has been an absolute powerhouse in the classic races in April, ending the classics season. And let's start by looking at the Flesh Wallonne on April the 17th. Gilbert was the defending champion, having won Amstel Gold last year, and there has not been an individual who has run two back-to-back Amstel Golds since Jan Ross won four times between 1977 and 1980. This year, however, Philippe Gilbert did repeat as he led 15 riders past Andy Schleck from Team Leopard Trek on the final climb to take the victory in 6 hours, 30 minutes, 44 seconds, 2 seconds ahead of Katusha's Joaquin Rodriguez, who was followed by Simon Gerrans, Jakob Fuglsang, and Alexander Kolobnev. Amstel Gold, famous for the Kauberg climb. The next race 3 days later is the Flesh Wallonne, which is famous for the Mur de Huy. And it was on the Mur de Huy where Philippe Gilbert once again powered past Joaquim Rodriguez to win the Flesh Wallonne in 4 hours, 54 minutes, and 57 seconds. Rodriguez coming over from Team Katusha 3 seconds later. Sammy Sanchez coming in 5 seconds behind Gilbert, followed by Alexander Vinokourov and Igor Anton Hernandez. And then, just 4 days later, at Liège-Bastogne-Liège, it looked like it should have been a battle of monumental proportions as Philippe Gilbert went away from the field toward the end of the race, along with Leopard Trek riders Andy and Frank Schleck. All along, as I'm watching the race, I'm waiting for the Schleck brothers to attack, reminding me of last year's Tour de France. But I'm just wondering whether or not attack is a word in the Luxembourgers' vocabulary. Because at the end of the day, Gilbert powered clear of both riders, as he is absolutely a much better sprinter than either of the Schleck brothers, powering away from them in the last 500 meters to sit up and taste the sweet taste of victory as he raised his arms to the sky in victory, winning 3 one-day classics in the space of a week. Philippe Gilbert winning Liège-Bastogne-Liège in 6 hours, 13 minutes, and 18 seconds, followed by Frank and then Andy Schleck, 24 seconds later by Roman Kreuziger and Rigoberto Urán. Following the race, the Schlecks were asked whether they had any regrets about the way that they performed in the race. They also asked those in attendance, Jens Voigt, who had attempted to help attack the field during the race to try to break Gilbert's grip upon the Spring Classics this year, the Schlecks and Voigt all saying that they felt that Gilbert was simply unbeatable and that attacking him would do no good as he was simply the stronger rider. Voigt saying that Gilbert didn't need anyone, meaning no other team member, in order to win this race, as he clearly proved as he pulled away from the Schlecks, winning Liège-Bastogne-Liège. 2 days later, it was time for some stage racing as the Tour de Romandie began April 26th, and I have actually updated this recording. Originally did the recording on April the 30th. Today is now May the 1st, and I'm updating this, wanting to bring you the final results of the Tour de Romandie, which ended today with an overall general classification victory by Cadel Evans. It's interesting to me, by the way, if you consider the fact Cadel Evans winning the world championship, winning the Tour de Romandie not once but twice, wondering what happened to the Cadel Evans of the past and the way that the media treated him in the past when Cadel Evans could do no right. So many people criticizing Cadel for his performance in the Tour de France and other stage races, criticizing him for not attacking, not training, or riding strong enough. This is not the Cadel Evans of the past. This is not your grandfather's Cadel Evans. This is the Cadel Evans of 2011, a very strong contender for the 2011 Tour de France. Following the race, Cadel Evans quoted as saying, "It's almost my home away from home race. It's a race that suits me well with a time trial and harder mountain stages." It should also be noted that the Australian now lives in Switzerland nearly full time. He says, quote, "I'm going home to rest. I'll keep working toward the Dauphiné, but my first objective for the year is the Tour de France." So Cadel Evans winning the overall general classification in the 2011 Tour de Romandie in 16 hours, 51 minutes, and 49 seconds. Second place overall going to Tony Martin from HTC High Road, 18 seconds back. Just 1 second behind Martin was Alexander Vinokourov from Team Astana. 31 seconds back, Marco Pinotti from HTC High Road. And in fifth place, Benat Intosti Elorriaga from Spain, say that five times fast, from Team Movistar, 41 seconds behind Cadel Evans from Australia and Team BMC. Well, the UCI is bound to release new World Tour rankings tomorrow, but as of April 25th, 2011, Philippe Gilbert was sitting atop the rankings in first place, followed by Fabian Cancellara, Matthew Goss, Andreas Klöden, Michele Scarponi in fifth place. In sixth, Sammy Sanchez in seventh, Robert Gesink, followed by Chris Horner, Tom Bonin, and Cadel Evans, who is bound to move up closer to Philippe Gilbert in the overall World Tour rankings. We'll have those rankings on the next episode of the Fredcast. Well, if you are a Grand Tour fan like I am, meaning that you enjoy the Giro d'Italia, the Vuelta a España, and the Tour de France, well, you're about to get your, well, at least one-third of your annual dose beginning next weekend, May the 7th, running through May the 29th, as the Giro d'Italia begins for 2011. This year's Giro is a 21-stage event, which begins with a team time trial and ends with an individual time trial, with another individual time trial thrown in on stage 16. Along the way, there are seven mountain stages, and everyone agrees that these are some of the toughest mountain stages that we've seen in the Giro d'Italia in quite some time. Throughout those stages, there are 40 climbs and seven mountain top finishes as the route visits 17 of the 20 regions of Italy throughout all 3 weeks of this year's Giro. Among the early contenders listed for possibility of winning this year's race was Ricardo Rico. We now know that he will not be competing for this year's race. Another name obviously listed as an early season contender, and the person who would be wearing number one during this year's Giro was Italian Ivan Basso, who has now decided that he will not be defending his title as he instead will be setting his sights on the 2011 Tour de France. So that would leave just a few people as the before race contenders for this year's event. Obviously, atop everybody's list is Alberto Contador, who has said that he definitely has his sights on a Giro win this year. Another contender, also fellow Spaniard Carlos Sastre and former Tour de France winner, is listed among the names of people who might be looking to win this year's Giro, and also the Giro champion from just a couple of years ago, Denis Menchov, is also listed. Look for guys like Mark Cavendish to get some early season wins, stage wins, under his belt, but don't forget guys like Alessandro Petacchi and Alessandro Ballan, who will also be looking to get some stage victories. You know, the Giro d'Italia does not get as much international attention as the Tour de France, certainly a bit more than the Vuelta a España. Nevertheless, I highly encourage that you find a way to watch the Giro d'Italia. I have never been disappointed watching the Giro. Last year's Giro was one of the most exciting I can recall, and we tend to see some really exciting racing and certainly some beautiful scenery throughout the 3 weeks as we take our tour around the beautiful nation of Italy. Get ready for the Giro d'Italia. It begins next Saturday, May the 7th, with the team time trial in Turin. In discussing the Giro d'Italia and potential pre-race favorites, one of the names that came up months ago was Ricardo Rico. Many of you who have been listening to the Fredcast for the past few months know that Ricardo Rico was recently hospitalized in very serious condition and then fired by his Vacances Soleil team as a result of information that indicated that Ricardo Rico had become ill as a result of a blood transfusion that he was administering to himself. Rico now is denying any blood transfusion, despite reports that indicated that he admitted to it when he was in the hospital, and is now looking for a new team with which he can race. Having said, quote, "I'm still a professional cyclist, and as long as inquiries are still underway, I can race, and I'm looking for a team. There are a lot of other riders in my position that race without problem. I started training again a month ago." I have a feeling he's going to have a very difficult time finding a team, with Ricardo Rico being a bit of a persona non grata in professional cycling at the moment. I think that quote that I just read may be referring to Alberto Contador. Contador fighting for his life in front of the Court of Arbitration for Sport in June as they convene to decide whether or not he was guilty of doping during the 2010 Tour de France, hoping to have a decision in advance of the 2011 Tour de France, where Alberto Contador is hoping to defend his Tour de France championship. And with the story about Ricardo Rico, that is going to do it for the professional cycling news for this week's episode of the Fredcast. Before we get on to the features for this week's episode of the Fredcast, I want to talk to you about another one of our sponsors, and that is Epic Planet. I've told you about Epic Planet before, but go to epicplanet.tv/thefredcast for some special offers for Fredcast listeners. If you haven't heard my discussions about Epic Planet before, let me tell you a little bit about what they do. They produce indoor cycling DVDs that you can use while you are on just your generic trainer, your Cyclops trainer, or your CompuTrainer, so that you can, despite the fact that you're in your basement, have the opportunity to ride, quote unquote, outdoors in some spectacular locations. And their catalog is growing by the day, including Epic Vermont, Epic Acadia, Epic Tucson, Epic, well, there's two Epic Tucsons, plus Epic Rouge-Roubaix, Epic Texas Hill Country, Epic Austin, Epic Beartooth Pass, and their latest release, Epic Wine Country, which I recently did. It's a great ride through the Napa Valley wine country in Northern California. But coming up soon will be Epic California, including Mount Baldy, which will be the seventh stage of this year's Tour of California. I've seen a teaser trailer, and I put a link in the show notes so that you can take a look at it too. It's great to see some familiar territory, some roads that I used to ride all the time. I think that you will really enjoy it. Go ahead and check it out. Go to www.thefredcast.com and click the Epic Planet link on the right-hand side of the page, or go to epicplanet.tv/Fredcast and check out the Epic Rides DVDs. I'm quoted on the site, and I say it every time, their videos are absolutely gorgeous, and I know that you will enjoy riding along on every Epic ride. We thank Epic Planet so much for their support of the Fredcast, and we thank you for your support of Epic Planet. Well, first off, in our feature section tonight, I wanted to talk to you once again about a ride that is upcoming that we talked to you about last year. Now, last year we had Tyler Servaas on the show talking about the inaugural Rockwell Relay. This relay went from Moab, Utah, famed for, well, probably best known for mountain biking, but I know I've told you before about the great road riding in the Moab area. But the Rockwell Relay leaves the Moab area and heads to St. George, Utah. And last year's race, I'm told, was a great success. They're back again this year with an even better event. And if you're not familiar with the event, it's a four-person road relay for men, women, or mixed teams, and it goes nonstop from Moab to St. George, passing through two national parks along the way and some of the most amazing landscape on earth. Now, it's both a road trip and a bike race combined. Each team has one rider on the course doing any particular leg, while the other racers leapfrog their racer waiting to exchange at designated exchange spots, and doing so in support vehicles, and of course having lots of fun both in the vehicles and at the exchange. Yes, it's a race, but honestly, I think that it's just a great event for friends and colleagues, coworkers, for team building and camaraderie building. It's just supposed to be an amazing event. I wish I was going to be in town once again this year for the event. But since I'm not going to be around, Tyler has told me that he's going to make a special offer for Fredcast listeners. If you sign up a new team over the next 10 days, the organizers are going to give a free jersey to the team captain. So sign up in the next 10 days, go to www.rockwellrelay.com and enter Fredcast in the referral field. If you do the race, I hope that you will record some audio that we can play here on the Fredcast. It is also my hope that next year I will have an opportunity to start a Fredcast team and enjoy the Rockwell Relay myself. It's June 10th through the 11th. Go ahead and check it out at rockwellrelay.com. If you follow me on Twitter or Facebook or Foursquare or Gowalla, or if you just pay attention, one of the things you know is that I do a lot of traveling for business. Last year, over 100,000 miles on airlines. And that can sometimes interfere, as you can imagine, with my regular cycling training. And recently, I was getting ready for a trip, and I was trying to decide, do I bring my folding bike, do I bring my regular size bike, or do I rent a bike in the area I'm going to? And I thought, you know, one of the things that might be helpful to Fredcast listeners would be to have me go to a new city, rent a bike or bring a bike, and then profile that city and its cycling scene. And so I've decided to start a new segment here on the Fredcast, which I'm going to call Travels with Fred. And this is the first of the Travels with Fred segments. Last week, I was on business in Las Vegas, Nevada, and decided that I definitely needed to keep my training up because, I'm getting ready for the Maratona in Italy in July. And I decided not to bring a bike, but to rent a bike. Now, when I was there a couple of months ago on business, I had the opportunity to participate in a business networking event that included cycling. Now, normally these things include golf, and I'm not a golfer, so I considered it a welcome opportunity to go cycling with some business colleagues. And we rented from a local shop in Las Vegas and then did one of the more popular routes in Las Vegas, the Red Rock Loop. And so I decided to return to that shop, rent a bike from them, see what the experience was like, and then come back and interview them about the cycling scene. So I visited McGee's Bike Shop in Las Vegas. Now, this is not a bike shop on the Strip. You're going to have to get in a car or take a bus or find a way to get to McGee's. But once you do, I think you'll be glad that you get there. This shop was built specifically as a bicycle shop. It's very large. It's very well laid out. As opposed to a lot of bike shops a lot of us are used to, which can be small and cramped, difficult to find what you're looking for, this one has plenty of space. So I was very impressed by that. Also, taking a look at their website, I found out that they had a number of bicycles for rent, including some really nice road bikes and some very nice road bikes. We'll get into that in the interview you're about to hear. Renting a bike from McGee's was simple. You can either reserve online or simply walk in, and if they've got one available, you can rent it and take it with you. I brought my shoes and my pedals and my own helmet, but if I didn't have my pedals or helmet, well, McGee's could loan those to me as part of the rental. I thought that that was really great. I did a couple of really nice rides, once again doing the Red Rock Loop, which goes through the Red Rock National Recreation Area, a beautiful part of Las Vegas, very, very different from the part of Las Vegas that most of us are used to on the Las Vegas Strip. This going through some gorgeous Red Rock landscapes, including a very decent climb and then some rolling hills. Just a great area. I also went out and did part of the Tour to Lake Mead ride that we do every year as part of Interbike. I had the opportunity to do that one late in the afternoon. There were very, very few cars on the road in the Lake Mead National Recreation Area, and that made for a very enjoyable ride. Upon returning to McGee's, I had the opportunity to do the following interview in which we touch on McGee's itself, the rental bike experience, a couple of good rides and events in the Las Vegas area. So here it is, my interview with Sean from McGee's and the very first Travels with Fred segment. Enjoy.
I'm in Las Vegas. I'm at McGee's Ski Bike and Board. I'm talking to Sean. Sean, tell me a little bit about the shop. It's huge. It's modern. Tell me about the history and a little bit about what you guys have and what you do.
Well, we started doing mostly skis and snowboards back in the early 80s. The owners needed a way to keep the doors open during the summer, so mountain biking was becoming popular, and they started bringing some mountain bikes in, mainly to keep the doors open. And it kind of developed from there. I came to work for them about 15 years ago from another bike store. So I wasn't a huge skier or snowboarder, but I was a huge cyclist and saw that we could improve. And in the 15 years since then, we've become more of a bike store that carries skis versus a ski store that carries bikes. And we've also been fortunate enough and lucky enough that we've had a lot of good employees, a lot of good people working for us that has allowed us to expand into our modern store. We got out of a place that we were leasing, we bought property, and we built our own building. So now we have this 15,000 square foot beautiful store to work in and merchandise and get people excited about, like yourself. We also do a very good job of what we do. You know, we take a lot of care in getting people on bikes, and we get excited about them getting on bikes, and we're just excited, and it kind of comes through, and it helps a lot with customer relations, you know, customer service.
Sure. You know, it's funny, you mentioned that they did it to keep the doors open. A lot of people don't know, but the way that I sort of got into the sporting industry was I was working for a family store in Los Angeles that was a ski shop, and to keep their doors open in the summertime, it was a scuba diving shop. And so it was sort of a similar sort of thing. And then you know what? Pretty soon they weren't a ski shop, and now they're a dive shop. So it's very similar to what you're talking about. Tell me about the brands that you carry for retail, and then we'll talk a little bit about your rental and service department.
At retail, we are a top 50 dealer for Cannondale. We are a top 100 dealer for Trek. We are a top 25 dealer for Pinarello. And we do a huge amount for those three companies. Trek and Cannondale are probably the two most recognized bike names in the country. We do a great representation for them. They're great products. We get along well with the companies. Almost all of us here, you know, ride at least one of those brands, and we all love them. And same with the Pinarello. You know, we do not as much volume as we do, of course, with Trek and Cannondale, but we keep them all pretty happy.
Yeah. Now, the reason, of course, I'm here today is because I'm in town, needed a bike to rent. You guys have a really nice rental fleet, a lot different from a lot of shops I've been to. You've got, you know, you rented me a Cannondale Synapse, nice road bike, but you've got some higher-end stuff as well. Tell me about your road bikes that you rent, as well as your mountain bikes that you rent.
We have a standard rental, which, of course, is the Synapse that you rode, aluminum bike, triple. It's a great little bike to get out and see some of the beautiful roads we have out here, get off of the strip and into the countryside, as it were. We also have a high-performance demo fleet, which consists of the carbon fiber Trek Madones, so with the full Durace kits. We also do a Pinarello bike as well, which is the 11-speed Campy Chorus equipped bike on a carbon Pinarello, so that people can come in and try something that they haven't tried before, or try high and exotic and take it out and beat it up. At our store out in Blue Diamond, which is the trailhead out here for the mountain biking, we also have a store out there that has a presence as far as our high-end mountain bike demos. We have bikes from Trek, bikes from Fisher, Cannondale, as well as our standard rental fleet, which consists of Trek fuels and Cannondale rushes. But you can also go out and demo any kind of high-end thing out there and right on the trailhead, and you don't have to haul the bikes around. You can pull in the parking lot, leave from the parking lot, do your ride, return it, and off you go.
So let's talk about what people can expect, right? Because when people think of Las Vegas, they think of the Strip. And I actually, in the past, have ridden my bike on the Strip, which is a huge mistake. Tell me, you know, I went out and I did Red Rock. And I went out and I did what I call the Tour to Lake Mead from Interbike. We do that every year. What can people expect for the road riding here in Vegas?
probably some of the smoothest roads that they're used to. It's the one comment I get a lot from out of towners is the condition of our roads. It's more almost a we're spoiled to pool table flatness, no frost heaves or potholes or anything like that. It's very nice roads, and we also have some great scenery on both ends of town. Las Vegas is kind of situated like a soup bowl, with the strip kind of being in the bottom of the bowl, and then you can head uphill either way out of town, either on the east end of town, the Henderson side, which has some great rides around Lake Mead, or the more popular is the west side of town, which is the Red Rock Recreation Area, which has some gorgeous vistas, a lot of great roads. You can ride for hours and hours. We have a ride that leaves from our store, keeps you out of the major traffic areas, and it's a 35-mile loop there and back. You do the Red Rock Loop, which is a one-way 12-mile loop through the Red Rock area. You see all the great sights and can make it a race, or you can take all day and take pictures. And it's awesome riding.
And that loop, by the way, is a loop that I did for a business conference I was here for. Instead of golf, we went cycling. So that was really, really nice. What about the mountain biking? You mentioned mountain biking. Here we are in the desert Southwest. You've got some, as you said, the soup bowl. So you've got some mountains ringing the Las Vegas Valley. What can people expect when it comes to, for instance, if they go out to your Blue Diamond store, what would they expect for the kind of mountain biking they'd be doing?
Well, if they're the Southwest, of course, we have rocks and dirt. We don't have a lot of soil to speak of, but we do have about 150 miles of single track in the what we call the Cottonwood Valley mountain bike area. And it's a developed area with in conjunction with the BLM, with Mark Trails. And it's on, we have two basically ends we call North Cottonwood, which has the more flat, fast roller kind of trails, and then the south side of Cottonwood, which is the, you know, get more into the hills, more of the climbs, you know, and then of course more of the fast ascents coming back. So there's always the nice little payoff. On the east side of town in Boulder City, there is a mountain bike park called Bootleg Canyon that is in conjunction with Boulder City. They hold the Interbike dirt demo out there, and lots of great trails out there, lots of ways to scare yourself to death as well if you're into that kind of thing. But you know, great, great mountain biking, great cycling. It's getting to be a pretty huge cycling town. We've seen it grow quite a bit in the last, you know, 15, 20 years, really seeing it kind of develop, and a lot more cyclists moving in and you know, bringing their enthusiasm and bigger crowds and more fun.
Sure. One of the things that I think people associate with Las Vegas, besides the gambling and the strip and all of that, is the heat. What kind of secrets or what do you tell your customers when they come from out of town? You know, you get into the later months of the summer, it gets a little hotter. What kind of tips do you have for people for riding here in the desert if they're not used to that?
Get out early. The sun comes up 6 o'clock, and you know, 90 degrees when the sun's just coming over the mountains, it's pretty tolerable. Middle of the afternoon, even, I'm a native and I won't go out in it and ride in it. It's just it's oppressive. But you know, the mistake that most people make is either they go out too late or they don't drink enough. It's very, very dry out here, and you don't sweat. It doesn't stay on you like you would think riding back east, where you're constantly soaked, and it evaporates quite quickly. And so it leads you to a kind of a false sense that you're not sweating as much and you don't need to drink, and the whole time you're sweating buckets, and it's just blowing right off you. And people get, you know, I've had you know, close bouts with some heat stroke out here. Just drink, try to get out early or ride later in the afternoon. But in the Cottonwood area, it's the elevation's a little taller, so it's usually 10 to 15 degrees cooler in the summer, and we're out there a lot. And we'll get out there at 6 and ride for a few hours, get done at 10, and you know, still have the rest of the day to kind of recuperate.
Sure. And I was going to mention, besides the heat and the dryness, you do have some altitude here. I mean, we are not at sea level, and so that also figures into their hydration, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, plus the alcohol they sometimes drink.
And depending on how much partying was going on the night before or the morning before, if that was the case, we are at 2,100 feet above sea level at our lowest point in the valley. Most of the riding is between 27 to 4,000 feet above sea level. So, you know, if you're coming from a lower elevation, it gets to you pretty quick. You know, you run out of breath a little quicker, or you're a little dizzy. You know, so yeah, take it a little easy. You know, let the alcohol get out of your system first, and then move on to, you know, the harder efforts.
For people who are coming into town, Are there some specific group rides or things like that, centuries, triathlons, that you really would recommend if they're coming and they want to maybe plan their vacation around a sporting event? Are there any events that you would recommend?
Well, we are getting more and more. 10 years ago, I probably would have said, well, you know, we'll pick up a ride and we'll show up. Maybe 10 people show up. We do have some local group rides that leave from a number of places on the weekends. That are always, we can point them in the right direction and tell them when to show up, depending on which time of town they want to ride on and what kind of, what degree of difficulty they like, road or mountain. As far as events go, we don't have a lot of racing, road racing. It's getting there. We have a guy that's working on some events right now, so we're trying to bring it up to the speed. But we do have a lot of triathlons. We actually have the World Championship coming here this year. It is on either end of the calendar, so you know, we have a lot of spring events and a lot of fall events, not too much through. Go figure. We're having a couple events this weekend. We have our Tour of Summerlin, which is our big fun ride, 80-mile or 40-mile. There's also the Iron Girl event, which is a huge draw for women. It's a shorter triathlon, get out there and try it thing. A lot of sprint tries out at Lake Las Vegas, which is the a nicer area out there by Lake Mead. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, Iron Silverman, Pumpkin Man, Rage. A lot of for the triathletes, there's a huge, and you can do rig it almost every month or every week almost.
All right, so for people who come to Las Vegas on vacation, want to rent a bike, maybe want to buy some equipment, tell people how they can find you.
Well, we are about 10 miles west of the Strip. If you want to ride the bus, it's very possible to do that if you don't mind an hour ride. We're straight up the main drag of Flamingo, which bisects the Strip there. About 10 miles from the Strip, it's a little bit of a haul, but it's definitely worth the drive. If you are going out for a ride, our parking lot's a great jump-off point for some of the nicer rides around here, and we can give you a map and point you in the right direction, and hopefully we'll see you again, and we don't have to come looking for you. But
web address, phone number?
McGees.com, and it's spelled McGhies.com is our website. And our website's a great resource for both rentals, ride planning, and shopping. And our address is 4035 South Fort Apache, and it's the corner of Fort Apache and Flamingo in Las Vegas.
Well, Sean, thanks for loaning me the bike for a couple of days. I had a great couple of rides, and we'll see you again. And thanks for coming on the Fredcast.
Thanks for having me, Fred.
So once again, thanks to Sean and McGee's Bikes. For full disclosure, yes, I did pay for the rental. That's going to do it for our first Travels with Fred segment, but trust me, it will not be the last. I'm looking at my calendar right now. Know that I will be doing a lot of traveling over the next weeks and months and be bringing you more Travels with Fred segments. I've got a trip to Montreal coming up as well. I'm going to ride a Bixi bike up there. That should be a lot of fun. By the way, one of the things I love, this happens all the time, whether I go to Interbike or, for instance, when I went to McGee's, I love it when people call me Fred. That just means they're listening. So that's a good thing. So thanks to Sean for that. Looking forward to more Travels with Fred segments. Go ahead and check out McGee's if you are in the Las Vegas area. You'll be glad you did. And yes, there is a link in the show notes. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Fredcast. But before we go, just want to thank our sponsors on this week's show. Of course, Jensen USA. You can find great prices, great selection, and great customer service. Simply go to jensenusa.com/thefredcast. Also, Audible. Go to audiblepodcast.com/cycling. Sign up for the Audible Listener Gold free trial for 2 weeks. Get your free audio book. And you can do that again at audiblepodcast.com/cycling. And also, Epic Planet at epicplanet.tv/fredcast. Choose from any of the great DVDs in their current catalog and keep watching as their catalog continues to grow. Of course, anytime, go ahead and click those Amazon links on the Fredcast or simply send us a donation by clicking the donation link. All of your support and your donations are greatly appreciated. If you'd like to keep in contact with the Fredcast, know what's going on, know where I'm traveling for the next Travels with Fred segment, follow along with me on Twitter. Simply go to twitter.com/Fredcast. Of course, I've also got a Facebook page, and that link is on our website. The website is www.thefredcast.com. You can also send me an email. The email is thefredcast@gmail.com, or send along your audio comment simply by calling the Fredcast listener hotline at area code 661-513-FRED. That's 661-513-3733. And now it's time for a feature we've had on the show since episode number one. It's time for PodSafe Cycling Music. Music that you can enjoy on your bicycle rides or on your indoor trainer sessions. And this week's PodSafe Cycling Music was chosen specifically for the Fredcast by CadenceRevolution.com, the home of the free weekly featured track and premium member content of weekly 30 and 60 minute cardio mixes and bi-weekly coaching tracks to get the world moving. You can find them at www.cadencerevolution.com. This week's PodSafe Cycling Music, apropos of doing some climbs in Las Vegas, called Give Up Suffering by Jim McTernan and the Kids That Killed the Man. Thanks so much for listening to the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. Thank you for staying subscribed and telling your friends and family and team members about the Fredcast. It is greatly appreciated. I'll be back soon with another episode of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast, but between this show and the next, enjoy the music, but most of all, enjoy the ride. This week's episode of the Fredcast, May is National Bike Month. Lots of bike sharing news and, unfortunately, product recalls. Plus, cyclists are upset over the Golden Gate Bridge's... Their bike share program are named after their mayor is the city of London. Really?